This is Retire Ready, where we break down retirement planning and make it easy to understand so you can live your golden years to the fullest. If you're tired of feeling overwhelmed by retirement planning or unsure about where to start, you've come to the right place. Planning your retirement starts now with your host, Kyle Hammerschmidt, founder of Mocan Wealth, and co-host, Colin Hayes.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Retire Ready podcast. My name is Colin. I'm here with Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Ready to dive into steps 3 and 4 on this podcast. We're going to kind of cram a little bit more information into this episode. That way we can kind of get through the 6 steps a little faster. So if you want to go ahead and start us off.
Yeah. So like Kyle just said, we're going to go through steps 3 and 4 of a tax-efficient retirement plan, starting with step number 3, which is understanding the order of withdrawals. Kyle, what does that mean and what can we take away from this?
Really, we're talking about, let's just kind of recap. So we're going to go back to like your first step is like master provisional income, get a good idea of like how Social Security is going to be taxed, you know, in your first year, your first 10 years, how can you kind of master that equation and kind of manipulate your tax return? From there, we're going to kind of get back to like categorizing your money by tax impact. And that's really going to be those 3 tax funnels. So we're going to talk about your tax later, which is those pre-tax accounts. When you take money out, it's going to make your Social Security potentially more taxable, depending on how much you take out. Your tax now accounts, those taxable brokerage accounts, growth in the account, obviously might be taxable depending on how it's invested and traded. It's going to show up in provisional income. Again, could make your Social Security more taxable. Tax never, we call them tax advantage. Those are those Roth plans. You pay up front, the money grows tax-free, you spend it tax-free. It does not show up on your provisional income calculation, does not make your Social Security more taxable. Now we're going to start like, okay, let's understand like the order of how this money should come out. What's the withdrawal strategy? A lot of pre-retirees really are focusing on accumulation, going up the mountain. They're not really thinking about decumulation, nor is their financial advisor. It's all about accumulation, let the markets go, stay invested, diversify. Hey, don't worry about how we're going to take this money out until you get close to retirement. At the end of the day, it's my firm belief that after the age of 50, you need more than just a diversified pie chart, a Social Security statement, and some confusing fee schedules. So you really have to have the end game in mind when we're talking about this. So understand the order of withdrawal strategy. How is this money going to come out in what fashion? And why would you do that? Because like a withdrawal strategy, like there's goals of like putting plans in place. Anybody who wants to go through a real financial retirement planning process, you have like there's strategies you put in place, but there's also goals and concerns you're trying to address. So like the first one would be maybe you're trying to like maximize the amount of money you can spend in retirement. That's pretty popular for like the type of clients we work with is like, we want to show you how to take out more than 4% of your portfolio in retirement. So maximize the amount of money you can spend. Like a lot of you listening or watching, or just the type of people that we work with, like everything you have for the most part, you've worked and saved for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, rode out some markets. And at the end of the day, it's really hard to like flip that script of like save. And now you got to spend it. But like, how can you maximize the amount of money you can spend without like running the risk of running out? So really a withdrawal strategy is like, how can you spend it? But how can you potentially spend more than what you thought you could have? Number two, this is a big one, is you have to like the tax game. It drives me nuts because the number one expense a pre-retiree and then a retiree is going to have in their retirement plan is going to be your tax bill. Yet the pre-retiree is going to really ignore the taxes, the tax return, not look at your tax returns, or like your financial advisor who's really just trading in your accounts and not giving you real advice. They never collected your tax returns from the beginning and starting to like look at potential moves you can make. So you have to figure out how you can receive a higher lifetime after-tax income. So you are solving for a net amount that you're going to want in retirement. And there's a bunch of ways you can get to an $8,000 per month net income. So we're going to have to solve for like, how do I get more lifetime after tax income? Let's go back to step number one is like, if you can master provisional income, hey, here's a couple of things you can do. And there's a 6-year strategy. So when you can start keeping more of your Social Security, so you're going to keep more Social Security net. But also if you do X, Y, and Z and you have some Roth income coming in, you're going to keep more net income. Oh, by the way, by doing this, now you don't have to take as many shares out of your IRA account. So you're going to keep more net income because your IRAs aren't taxes heavy. So again, receive a higher lifetime after tax income. So you're not just winging it. Number three would be you want to enhance the longevity of your portfolio. This is a big one, again, because the number one worry pre-retirees have, or just baby boomers, is like running out of money. And really the only way someone could potentially run out of money is if they retired too soon, they didn't have enough saved up. But the biggest two would be you're overspending in your retirement accounts. You're taking way more out than you planned on taking. And then the biggest one would be when a bear market happens, you know, because markets do go down and you're not prepared for it. And like your portfolio drops like 15% and all of a sudden you're freaking out. You're in retirement like, hey, I don't know what we need to do here. And you sell. And you do that multiple times over like a 20 to 30 year trajectory. That's a great way to run out of money. So if you have an order of withdrawal strategy set up, it can enhance the longevity of your portfolio. That's making sure when you're making sure like you're proportionately taking money out of the right types of funnels. So you don't have to sell as many shares to get your net income. Again, the goal of a withdrawal strategy is like net. How can you keep more shares invested, but also get the same amount of income? That's a great way to add longevity onto your portfolio. Number four, why would you have an order of withdrawal strategy? You want to reduce the taxes you paid over the course of your retirement. We're talking about the long-term tax bill, not saying, hey, Kyle, how can I lower my tax bill in 2024? If someone said, show me how to lower my tax bill in 2024, and I got, let's just say I got a single person household, he or she's making, you know, $220,000. That's all right. If you want to minimize your tax bill in 2024, call your employer, cut your pay in half, max out your 401k traditional contributions to deduct to reduce your income, max out your HSAs to reduce your income. But at the end of the day, you're like, you don't have any living expenses. So we're talking about how do you lower your long-term tax bill. There's a bunch of ways you could do it, but how do we legally pay our fair amount to Uncle Sam over the course of your retirement and before versus kind of just focusing on the current time legally? Number five, this is a really big one, is like you want to eliminate or reduce Social Security taxes from being taxed. If you remember from a couple episodes ago, mastering provisional income. Well, if you don't have a withdrawal strategy in place and you don't understand like how much money needs to come from this funnel and how much money should come out of this funnel on an annual basis. And hey, if we need $10,000, what funnel is it going to come from? It could potentially make your Social Security more taxable. There's a deal. If you're listening or watching, I would highly suggest Googling the Social Security torpedo, because it can kind of show you how like if you accidentally take like $1,000 out from an IRA and you're a certain income threshold, it could cause like a 50% increase of taxes on a certain portion of your dollars. So a withdrawal strategy would make sure you know how much is coming out from what funnels, when it's coming out, to make sure you're reducing that Social Security tax bill. Number six is a big one, healthcare. Healthcare is going to be your number two expense over your retirement. And the great way to do this is like Medicare looks at your previous 2 years of tax returns, and it's called IRMA. So basically what they're going to do is, hey, here's how much income you made in 2023. Here's your Medicare payment in 2025. So one thing you do need to be careful of is on your withdrawal strategies, like what type of income are you showing as adjusted gross income? Are you showing too much income because you're not pulling from the right sources? And it's actually raising your Medicare premium. So those are the top six goals with a withdrawal strategy. And I kind of talked about that Social Security torpedo, but let's just kind of walk through this. Like, how could you potentially pay like 49.95% in taxes? Like, what would that percent look like? How would you do this? So let's just pretend I need $1,000 additional IRA withdrawal. I'm already in the 12% bracket. So that's $120 taxable event. So if my federal perspective, I owe $120 on that $1,000 IRA withdrawal. What actually happens is that $1,000, I owe $120. It causes another $850 of my Social Security to become taxable at 12%. that's another $102. I also have some brokerage accounts. And since I don't understand order of withdrawals and tax strategies, it actually causes another $1,850 of capital gains to be taxed at 15%. That's another $277.50 for that $1,000. It actually created a total tax bill of about $499.50. So again, that's the Social Security torpedo kind of wrapped up. So that's one thing you kind of have to look out for.
Yeah. And then speaking of taxes and withdrawals and trying to be the most tax efficient in your tax efficient retirement plan, moving to step number four is talking about tax bracket capacity. The capacity at which when your tax bracket, you might bump into the next tax bracket, the higher tax bracket. What does, like, how does it work with understanding tax bracket capacity and why is that important?
This is just like an easy homework assignment. Measure your tax bracket capacity. Really, real planning, real financial retirement planning, everything starts with your tax returns from the beginning. You shouldn't really just invest your money and not look at your taxes. So tax planning, financial planning up front, then invest your money. So, you know, 2024, a lot of you hopefully just got some taxes done from 2023. You should go look at that tax return and measure your tax bracket capacity. You know, where are you at? What was your modified adjusted gross income number? What was your average tax rate? What was your marginal tax rate? Look at those tax returns. What's that going to look like for the next couple of years? What's that going to look like in the first 5 to 10 years into retirement? And just kind of understand, like, the as the tax code sits today, it's going to sunset. So January 1, 2026, taxes would be going up. How's that going to impact you? If you think like, hey, I need to master my provisional income and start doing some tax strategies, I have way too much money in that first funnel, which is the tax deferred. And let's just assume like we got a household here and so we're looking at their 2023 tax return, married couple, under 65, and they got about $173,051 of taxable wages. As it sits in 2024, estimated they got about $58,000 in change before they would kind of go up to that next tax bracket. That's how much room they currently have in their existing tax bracket based upon what their 2023 tax return says and what they could potentially do in 2024. So they're in the 22% bracket as a marginal federal tax rate, married filing jointly. They're taking the standard deduction. Their average tax rate on all those taxable income is about 12.4%. So that's a big thing they need to understand is like, hey, we do have some room to potentially do some Roth conversions or max out our Roth 401ks. So that's just like the first step you have to look at when you're looking at all this is like, how much room do you have in your current tax bracket? Do you have a lot, a little? What type of deductions are you taking? But go back, look at your tax returns. Start running some numbers for like 2024, 2025, and 2026. Understand as taxes sit that we'll kind of go over in a future episode kind of what that would look like. So let's just say I have like here's a case study scenario to kind of wrap some stuff up today. So if I have a 65-year-old married couple who's like, hey, we're going to retire early. And this is a good idea of kind of how this would work from a withdrawal strategy potentially. Like this is as a 30,000 foot as easy as I can make it. So we're going to retire early at 65. We think it's in our best interest to delay Social Security until age 70, even though I said they didn't have to. They have a brokerage account with about $350,000 in it. $260,000 is the cost basis. So there's about $90,000 of long-term capital gains that has not been taxed yet. And then, so they have that taxable, middle funnel there. And then IRAs, they got about $500,000 in that first funnel. So they kind of went through the first couple of steps and like, holy smokes, like, we didn't really realize that we had a tax problem here. So they got about $500,000. You could have four times as much. Half of this is an example. So at age 65, let's just pretend they're going to retire at the end of the previous year. So age 65 is a fresh tax year here, 2024. Basically, what's going to happen is in that taxable brokerage account, one thing they could do is sell off all those gains. So they're going to realize about $90,000 of capital gains. That $90,000 capital gains that's actually a 0% tax bill due on those gains. So basically, now they got about $350,000 in change in cash to kind of live off of the next handful of years. So again, you have to go look at those tax brackets, the different tax systems, the different tax funnels, that those profits they made in their brokerage account. They owe no taxes up on that up to like $94,000 and change. Plus you can add that standard deduction of about $32,000 on there. So they still have some room. They have about $32,000 of room before they would like start incurring some tax bills. So what they could potentially do is do like a $32,000 Roth conversion, move $32,000 over from that IRA all the way over to that last bucket, which is the tax-free. And that would they would actually owe no taxes on that taxable event there. And then for the maybe for the next 4 years, they're going to live off that cash available. The nice part about that is like that cash won't show up on their tax return. The only way it would show up on a tax return is like if it was reinvested and there were some gains, or they put it in like a money market account and that interest would show up. But they can, the plan would pay, basically say do about $80,000 over the next 4 years. That was their magic number. They needed to get about $320,000 plus over to their Roths before they took their Social Security. Every time they did that Roth conversion from a federal perspective, it's going to create about a $5,500 tax bill. And the reason why they did that is obviously they don't have to get all their money over. They need to get about $320,000 over and leave about $100,000 to $150,000 in their tax deferred accounts. Age 70, this is what their goals were. Get as much Social Security as possible tax free. So they wanted to master that provisional income and have better control over that in the future. They wanted to be in that lowest Medicare premium tier, so they didn't have to pay increases on their Medicare Part B or subscription drug plans. They wanted small RMDs or little to no RMDs. They didn't want a required minimum distribution, like bumping them up into the next tax bracket or making their Social Security more taxable. And they wanted to make sure if one of them were to pass away early and the other spouse lived a while, they wanted to make sure that surviving spouse, they knew the Social Security check was going to be gone, but they wanted the surviving spouse to be able to bring in raw income, that which was tax-free. And then they also had adult children. So they wanted to make sure when they both pass, their kids get those inheritances tax friendly. So again, this is a super like 30,000 foot simple way of like taking order of withdrawal strategies. Really, it's like, are you going to spend taxable first and then tax deferred, then tax free? When's provisional income coming in? Are you going to reverse it and maybe spend tax deferred first because you got a bunch of money in tax deferred accounts? A lot of these, if you have those tax funnels and you got a little bit of money in each, it's like the idea is if you have tax deferred balance, taxable balance, and tax free balance, again, it takes time to create that and move stuff around. You can kind of do like a pro rata approach where like you're going to take so much from tax deferred, so much from taxable, and so much from Roth. It allows you to keep more net and it allows you to keep more of your Social Security because you're mastering that provisional income. So that's one thing I would definitely focus on. Unfortunately, like what gets all the attention is like daily market movements and today's headlines. And at the end of the day, that's just noise. Like what provides the most value is going to be your financial plan, like personal guidance, but also having like market history perspective and having planning in place. So again, the name of the game, the show is like doing nothing changes nothing.
Yeah. So it's important as you listen to this, if you're like, I'm not sure where to begin. I have all these different, I have a ton of money in tax deferred and I need, guidance on maybe how to navigate this tax efficient retirement plan. Definitely link down in the show notes below as a way to, start your retirement plan today. But Kyle, anything else you want to say about the steps 3 and 4, the tax efficient retirement plan?
No, I mean, this is a lot of stuff we cover throughout the year. We do our retirement workshops at K-State Olathe and KU Edwards. Highly suggest coming to those. Those are 2 days. You're really investing like 4 to 4.5 hours of your time over a 2 week period to come learn. You can grab our retirement kit. I talk about this a lot in my book, the Retire Ready book. So
awesome. Well, thank you all for listening and we'll see you in the next episode.
You've been listening to Retire Ready with Kyle Hammerschmidt. Planning your retirement starts now. The word retirement shouldn't scare you. Our passion is to be here to help you navigate every step of the way. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, for more education and information, hit up RetireReadyAcademy.org. And if you're ready to start your retirement planning today, go to our website at MoCanWealth.com. Mocan Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor with the state of Kansas and Missouri and may only transact business with residents of those states or residents of other states where otherwise legally permitted, subject to exemption or exclusion from registration requirements. This communication is not intended as an offer or solicitation to buy, hold, or sell any financial instrument or investment advisory services.